The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Cochran, Chief Digital Strategist and Vice President, Public Sector at Acquia. How are you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, I always scrounge around for guests, and I love people who've been beat up and knocked around and in and out of the federal government, had a lot of success and different experiences. And Tom has also got two patents. So I figure we'll bring him in, and he can enlighten our listeners as to a little topic that many people are interested in called open source, and maybe talk about Acquia and Drupal and some free opportunities to learn. And going to cover many, many topics today. But before we begin, Tom, tell us about your background that I've kind of mentioned earlier.
Sure. Like you said earlier, I have been in the federal government. I've also been in the private sector. I came to D.C. about 17 years ago. I was working at a company called AMS. You may remember that company, acquired by CGI. Mm-hmm. And my first customer, my first client was the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So I've always been engaged in the federal space since then. I most recently was at the Department of State as part of the Obama administration, really leading digital change for the department in the public diplomacy world. Prior to that, I was also at Atlantic Media, the parent company of Quartz, the Atlantic, and government executive. And prior to that, I was at the White House doing digital again. So I've had a lot of experience and great opportunities in the digital space within Washington, D.C.
And, you know, you're really kind of humble here. You do have two patents, and you're very sophisticated and a leader in change. I think you're more of a change leader than anything else. I've heard really good stories about you and your work at the State Department. And when you went in, you apparently, I don't know what you did, but you shook things up and got things, you know, moving and reduced costs and improved efficiencies. And I think many of my listeners are in situations where they want, you know, they desperately want to change things and move things around at DOI, at, you know, Interior or HHS, but they want to model their behavior. Well, how did he do it? Well, that Tom guy. Well, yeah. Well, is he real smart or hard working or how did he do it? And I think that's the one we're talking about today is, Okay, situation that needed change in the State Department. You outsider. You walked in and you were successful. So tell us about your patents and your background. So you got some good education background and you teach at American University as well, don't you?
That's right. I teach a graduate level class on digital marketing. It's really wonderful. It's fun. It's really conversational. It's really an opportunity for these graduate students to explore and learn more about digital marketing. And it's also an opportunity for us. I have a co-teacher, Ben Coit, who works at IBM, to really share our experiences and how we've sort of grown up in this digital space.
Yeah, it's always good. I enjoy the classroom as well. And I think you always wind up learning more from the students and you realize and you go, wow, I never thought of X, Y, and Z. And they give honest feedback. I tell you that much. I was always scared of my teachers. Mm-hmm. They give brutally honest feedback, don't they?
They do. They do. Absolutely. Also, it's a generation of students that don't remember life before the internet.
Yeah.
And I think I'm the last generation that remembers life before the internet. And I remember how it's just dramatically transformed life when we had the internet and cell phones. And
so you've been with commercial companies and in the federal government and now with a commercial company. I mean, you have a tremendous background. So why did you choose this company called Acquia?
So when I was coming out of the State Department, I knew that I had a limited time because the administration was coming to an end. So I did a search, and I met as many companies as I could. I talked to many leaders, different companies and opportunities, and it really came down to finding a place that allowed me to continue in a mission-driven environment. I really enjoyed working in the public sector, as difficult as it is, because the work that we do and the work that they all do on a day-to-day basis really matters. It's about public service. It's about serving your country. It's about doing good things for citizens. Acquia gave me the opportunity to run their public sector business. So not only do I get to work with individual organizations, I work with federal, I work with state and local, cities, international as well. We do a lot of work in Australia. So it's really allowing me to employ my continued digital experiences to really help make public sector better everywhere.
And if you're challenged for spelling, it's acquia.com, and they have a whole federal section. They have blogs for federal executives. In fact, they have some offerings that are it's designed specifically for this audience. They have free training and agile software development. I mean, it's like it's custom made for you, isn't it? It's a good fit.
Absolutely a good fit. I really love it. It's a great culture, but it also is a company that really believes in transforming the government experience using modern digital open source platforms.
So if we take and talk about Acquia, A-C-Q-U-I-A, we have to usually talk about some other similar technology. And some people have heard about it, some haven't. And I'm going to say the word and then spell it, and then maybe we can talk about this called Drupal, D-R-U-P-A-L. What is it, and what does it mean for our listeners?
So Drupal is a content management system or content management platform. It started in 2001. A gentleman by the name of Dries Buytaert, who is a Belgian, was in university, and he created the software as a platform to manage his content and manage a forum online. Fast forward 15, 16 years, and now you have what is the most dominant content management system in government today. 11 of the 15 cabinet agencies use this as their platform to run their main websites. About 30 to 40% of .gov websites are powered by Drupal. And the most important part about Drupal is that it's open source. And for those that might not know what open source means, that means there are no licensing fees for the software. So you can actually download it and install it yourself. But the power of it is that the entire community, the entire global community of software developers will work on the software and contribute back to the software. So instead of having a team of 10 or 12 engineers, you have that team on site. But you also have the 300,000 engineers that are also working on the project, which is sort of augmenting your own software engineering team. It's a really incredible community.
I want to bounce back to your company. And again, you're pretty humble. 2013, it was listed as the fastest growing private technology company. Acquia, I mean, it's really fast. And if you go to their website, I mean, whoever designed the site, I mean, the site is very responsive and easy to use and topical. And you can talk about Lyft, L-I-F-T, you can talk about Lightning, talk about site fast. I mean, you can drill down as high or as low as you want. And there's a lot of information that's provided there. And so I went to YouTube, and there's like, I don't know, 600 videos. So it's like they're communicating in a visual manner as well. So what they're trying to do is trying to educate the audience and say, hey, there's options out there. You may not want to do it this whole classic way. There's an option here. And I think many of my listeners want to learn more, especially because they're being encouraged to go open source, aren't they?
More and more. Absolutely. The previous administration really made it part of their agenda to push open source, but more importantly, to push open government. The three basic principles being transparency, participation, and collaboration. And focusing those three on open source and adopting open source is why we've ended up with 11 of the 15 cabinet agencies now running Drupal. If you went back 8-9 years, you wouldn't see that.
Yeah, and on Twitter, it'd be hashtag OpenGov.
That's right.
and I think that's the whole thing. Let's say you're working at an agency and you've got a problem and you've got three solutions you're evaluating. And we've all seen the mandates and move to the cloud and open source. And people are kind of wary. They're going, yeah, well, I want to move to the cloud, but what if I lose stuff? I mean, I just 2 years ago, I had a major move. We downsized and moved to a smaller house. And I was kind of worried. Just, you know, back in the day, I would move myself. But at my age, I hired a company to do it. And I said, what if they didn't get everything? And I think that's what people think about. Well, I want to move to Drupal, but you know, what if they don't get everything? And they're kind of wary, aren't they? They're kind of hesitant.
I think you're right. It's unlikely that anything catastrophic like that would ever happen in the cloud world. However, you do have to address these concerns, which are real concerns. And they stem from the fact that people probably don't understand what the cloud is. It's this very ephemeral sort of amorphous thing that's out there. And people don't understand what it is and how it impacts their business. If you told me that you put your money under your mattress versus a bank, I would think that's bizarre. But some people think that it might be safer to keep your money under the mattress because you can see it. Well, it's a similar model with the cloud, whereas some some IT execs will say, I need to see my servers. I need to touch my servers because that gives me a level of comfort. Whereas putting it in the cloud is akin to putting your money in a bank.
That's a good analogy, better than my of moving. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about Agile Government Leaders and the AGL Academy and how you can help my listeners with some free stuff, because we all like free stuff. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Tom Cochran, Chief Digital Strategist and Vice President, Public Sector at Acquia. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in studio. We have Tom Cochran, Chief Digital Strategist and Vice President, Public Sector at Acquia. Well, we talked a little bit about open source, and we talked about what you've done for listeners and different experience and everything else. But I think the summary is digital transformation, and most people think that's moving to the cloud. It could be just a change of way of doing things. So does that summarize what your company does?
I think that summarizes it very well. Instead of just focusing on the technology, it's really about the delivery of services, but also the culture of how you execute in government. Digital transformation is something that we've seen a lot of in the last 8 years. One of the things I'm particularly proud of is at the State Department, really pushing the group that we had at the State Department, IIP, to really start operating as a digital-first enterprise. And what I noticed was the first thing, well, there are three things that we really needed. The first was, earlier you mentioned that I was an outsider coming in, an interloper, if you will, into a large organization where people have been working for years and years, probably decades. They've seen many of me come and go, and they've seen many of me flame out.
We'll chew him up and spit him out.
We'll destroy this person. It's really important to go in there as an interloper and listen. Just go in there and listen. And frankly, don't even do anything for the first 3 to 6 months. Make sure that you understand the problems. Make sure you understand the pains, the challenges, and make sure you understand what has been tried in the past. Make sure that as a result of that, people believe that you are there for noble reasons, for valid reasons, not to just sort of get a notch on your belt or something on your resume that you've changed something. Don't try to blow something up quickly without understanding the problem. Number two, then, is really making sure that the organization and the leadership of the organization and the entire staff of the organization understand the value of risk. Risk in the private sector is something that translates into quantitative reward. Apple, for example, says, we're going to make a phone and we're going to dominate the phone industry. That sounds crazy. Look where we are today. Now, as a result of that, Apple sells more iPhones than babies born in a day. That's insane. But that's because Steve Jobs took a big risk. In the public sector, risk is very difficult to measure the results of. What you can see, though, is when you take a risk and something breaks, something blows up, there's a security problem, you are on the front page of the Washington Post and the New York Times. That is a measurable, empirical, negative result of risk. So people are inherently scared of risk in the government. But it's really important to take some risks, calculated risks, and make sure that the appropriate mitigation measures are put in place so we can actually move forward. Because if you're not trying and if you're not failing at a few things here and there, you're not moving forward. And then the last thing is to enable people with technology, making sure that people have the right tools to do their jobs. It is remarkable that you go into agencies, departments all over the government and see people with 8-year-old desktops. Sometimes the desktops might even have disk drives still. No Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth, no iPhones, all sorts of challenges like this. In spite of these challenges, people do great work. Now imagine if we enabled them with the best technologies out there in the private sector. Your child should not have better technology in their bedrooms than you have at work. We need to have the best technologies to make sure that everyone can be enabled to do great things. So those are really the three things that we focused on at the State Department to really transform the way we operated as a business.
You know, I looked up your LinkedIn profile, and you have a lot of recommendations. And some of the recommendations say he took the lead at the State Department. And so I was in the impression that you waltzed in there the first day with a bow tie and said, hey, I'm Tom the Greatest, and we're all going to change. Just the opposite, which is you waltzed in the first day, and you said, hey, I'm Tom. I want to see what the problems are and listen. And took a few months to get credibility. And then said, hey, this is some options you may want to consider. And it's going to be dangerous. And if you admit they're going to be dangerous, it's like going to a foreign country. It can be dangerous. It can be real fun, too. But you have to prepare and maybe learn about the country. And well, passport might be important, maybe a couple of dollars in your pocket. But listen, risk, and then enable users. That's the 3 points. Is that how you did in State Department?
That is exactly how we did it in State Department. But the listening part is really the most important. If you don't set that foundation, demonstrating that you understand the problems and demonstrating that you have some empathy for the people that are already there that have been fighting these battles, you'll get nowhere.
I always have a hard time with words. And my wife's a Latin teacher, so we talk about words all the time. And I try to define what Drupal does. And I guess if I wanted to put together some words to describe it, I would say it's a content workflow system for many different flavors of people. There's content. So you ever know CMS, content management system? That's almost like Ralph gets it, then Rohan gets it, and then Rahul gets it, or something like that. But it's much more sophisticated than that, isn't it? It assumes workflow, but it improves on that for a wide variety of users.
You're right that CMS is something that people relate to websites. You look at a federal agency's website and people will know that that's powered by a content management system. But then if you break it down and think about content, well, what is content? Well, content is everywhere. One of our customers is the New York MTA, the subway system. And when you're in the subway system in New York, there are signs that show you when trains are coming. That is powered by Drupal. That's not a website. So what's really interesting
now... Is that really a content management system? No, it takes it to the next level.
So each train in New York has a beacon on it, which accurately measures and displays where it is, feeds that system back into the content management system, and allows the system to accurately display arrival times of trains. I would love to see something like that in DC's metro system.
It's dynamic because it's current information and has to be done in a system that's flexible. And by the way, it better be secure. I mean, that's got to be a criteria in New York City. And so what you're offering is something that is scalable and dynamic and still open source. So I'm sure there are listeners in situations just like this in the federal government. Could be managing containers, could be managing supplies, could be managing people. But dynamic situations like this, that gets to be difficult, especially with servers interacting and dynamic assigning storage and compute.
When we're talking about the Acquia Cloud platform, the first thing, so I talk about it in there are three traits that I focus. One is security, and that's the first and most important one, especially in the government. Stability, things have to work. Things have to work all the time. And scalability, things have to work under pressure and under high load. So that is exactly what we have with our, and I should mention, FedRAMP compliant Acquia Cloud platform.
Now, there's some people who go to trade shows and may want to drill down with some more topics than this general discussion we're having here. Are you speaking at any events in the next couple months?
I am, actually. Next week, I'll be at the FCW Citizen Engagement Summit, which is at the W Hotel. That's on Wednesday. There's a hashtag FCW Citizen. You could check that out. I'd love to meet and talk to anybody that's listening to the show.
I think you'd be a great person to grab. I mean, look, my name is Joe Anonymous from this agency, and we have these problems. And I looked at open source, but, you know, I'm afraid. I mean, I'm scared of it. And what about licensing? And what about training? And what happens here? What happens there? And you're going to have some great responses from, I think, you know, because you've done a lot of different things, especially with government. And if you look at some of your case studies in the Australian government, they applied this stuff to some very serious environments, and it does scale, and it is stable, and it is secure. So you've got some good stories to tell your website, don't you?
We have. The Australian government is a great one, a great example. The federal government, the national government, Australia, has adopted Drupal and Acquia as their platform of choice for managing government websites. They have something called GovCMS, and they provide that as a service to agencies, departments, ministries, but also down to the local levels, the state levels, the city levels. So I'll be going out to Australia to learn a lot more about this, but also to start helping expand their footprint down there.
Wow, that's quite a flight. I know people have made that. Better pack a lunch is all I could say to you.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and come back. I want to talk about your website and some of these terms that you use in your website, and maybe confusing for me, maybe confusing for listeners. They talk about a site factory. They talk about Lyft. Not that Lyft, L-I-F-T. Talk about Lyft for content certification. And another fascinating topic called lightning. So I guess you guys have lightning, or maybe you bottle lightning. Maybe that's what you do, huh?
Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. Tom Cochran, Chief Digital Strategist and Vice President, Public Sector at Acquia. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Tom Cochran, Chief Digital Strategist and Vice President, Public Sector at Acquia. If you want more information, acquia.com, Boston-based company, rapid growth, many different areas, a lot of federal agencies, a lot of commercial companies focusing in on how open source can help my listeners achieve their goals. Some people use the phrase content management system, CMS, and talk about some of the projects you work on, some don't. You know, many of my listeners are scratching their heads going, well, this guy's pretty smart. I mean, he's got a couple of patents. He's got experience in the White House and State Department. And what does he read to keep up? So I'm going to ask you the question that they're thinking. So what do you read to keep up with their blogs or their videos? How do you keep up with this technology?
All of the above. I read the internet. But there are some sources that are better than others, right? And frankly, some of the traditional, more older media companies like Washington Post, New York Times, they do a really good job in terms of presenting information about digital transformation, presenting information about how to modernize organizations, but then Mashable, TechCrunch. To be honest, social media, Twitter, following people on Twitter, because those are the people that actually are also digging up really interesting information to share.
I think that's the phrase that pays. You know, I'm not real smart, but if I follow you on Twitter and you like this article, I'm going to go, well, Tom's real smart. I mean, if he thinks this is a good article, guess what? I'm probably going to read it. Now, if Joe Schmo says it's a good article, I don't trust Joe Schmo. I don't care, you know, Bill Smith. I don't care Rohan Gupta. But if Tom, I know Tom. I've listened to his interview. I know he's got experience in the government and in commercial. And maybe he wants to be a disruptive element. I have my students read Ray Wang's book, Disrupting Digital Business. And what I tell my students is that some people don't want to be disrupted. It sounds catchy. And, hey, it's with it and cool. But you know, disruption is can be dangerous, can't it? I mean, you went to the State Department. You did some disruption there, didn't you?
Most certainly. Absolutely. And we talked about this earlier, the three things that we really needed to do. I think that you're right in that some organizations do not want to be disrupted.
You're right.
But what we also found is that there's a group. There are three groups. The first group being the sort of 10 or 15% of people that under no circumstances are they comfortable with changing. They have a level of comfort with the status quo and want to keep it that way and will do anything to obstruct change. You have the other end of the spectrum, which is change is great. Let's change this now. I love new ideas. Let's go and try things, and failing is okay. So the people that you're really selling to, the people that you're really trying to sell the change to, is that middle group. If you're talking about sort of a political campaign or an advocacy campaign, those would be your swing voters or your undecideds. And you need to get deputize the changed ambassadors, those 20% at the leading edge, to convince their peers, friends, and acquaintances that change is necessary and change is good.
Yeah, exactly what Wang says. I mean, right. he talks about people who don't, they call them digitally disengaged. They don't want to be engaged and they don't care about it. So it's kind of a difficult situation to be in. When I went to your website, that's acquia.com, kind of hard to listen to the radio and remember. Looks like five big categories there. You talk about site factories and Lyft and Lyft for content syndication and lightning. Maybe you can share some, you know, a lot of different meanings can be poured into these words. So what exactly are these categories in your website?
Sure. So these are the product categories that we have. The most important and relevant ones to the federal and public sector business would be first and foremost is Site Factory. Site Factory is really about site management. So multi-site.
S-I-T-E.
S-I-T-E. Mm-hmm. That's right. So like website. So it's website management. It's multi-site management. So let's say a great example would be the Department of Interior or National Park Service. Each national park has a website. How do you manage that? In the old days, each website or each park would have to go figure out how to build a website themselves. But today in 2017, the modern and intelligent way to do it is to centrally provide the technology and make sure that you have content governance, branding governance, structure governance, all controlled by the mothership here. And then the content, the actual information that's put on the website, is managed by the local entity. In this case, it would be the National Park. So that's what Site Factory does. It really enables an organization to really quickly spin up a website, spin up multiple websites to manage it with this governance structure.
Do you know Dr. Allison Druin at NPS, National Park Service?
I do not. I should.
Yeah, she's in charge of digital strategy over there. So you digital strategists should get together. And
that sounds like a person to meet.
She's married to a PhD in computer science, and she has a PhD in computer science. So she's really smart. She's a good person to know, good person to follow on Twitter as well. Mm-hmm. Well, federal information technology professionals are listening to the show, and they're going, well, I never heard of this Acquia stuff. You know, this is kind of confusing. What's this all content management stuff? Well, what they do is they provide training on the site, too. I mean, this is really a great – tell us about this agile training for the government executive. I mean, there's a whole blog about it on the website.
Right. What we're really looking to do is help transform culture, help transform leadership culture, and give them the ideas to be able to transform and digitally transform their organizations. Because some people don't understand what agile is, or because some people don't understand what open source is, that's the step that it's about six steps before actually moving and changing platforms. So we want to make sure that people have the information that they need to make the smart decisions necessary to transform their organizations.
If you go to Twitter and type in your company name, you see four different categories of tweets. One is for Acquia support, one is for Acquia certification, one is for Acquia university. And the regular Acquia as well. So these three different vertical areas or silos that your company operates in, I mean, so you can get certified in using this. I thought you get a Drupal certification.
So different audiences. One would be Acquia support. I have a problem with my website and Acquia manages my website. The other one is, so another audience is the developers. Developers are the ones that are certified. So like Microsoft, like Red Hat, you can get certified on those operating systems. For Drupal, it's important to know that the Drupal developers that you have or that you're working with are actually as credible and as talented as they say they are. So if they go through this sort of verified, trusted authentication process to make sure that they're certified, you can now know that they are as good as they say they are.
So that's
the certification process.
Yeah, so someone who is maybe new to this world could go to the generic, you know, Twitter feed and learn, and someone who is using it every day, they may have more sophisticated, more detailed questions that can be responded to there.
That's right.
Hmm. So what's this Agile Government Leaders and what's the AGL Academy all about?
So the AGL Academy is really about having, again, we talked about this earlier, making sure that people understand what Agile means, but also making sure they understand what Agile means to their organization, in their organization, and applying those skills, applying those experiences to digital transformation.
If I were on the Metro, and I'll be on the Metro in about an hour, and I just turned to someone and said, hey, content management system, CMS, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? They may say Microsoft SharePoint. It's the first thing I think of. Mm-hmm. So do you folks compete with Microsoft SharePoint? Is that just a whole different world? Is that something you integrate with? Or for the person that's sitting about and thinking about SharePoint, how do you compare with that?
I think it's fair to say that it is a content management platform, but it's really more a document management platform. And the reason it's one of the first things that pops into people's minds is because Microsoft has a massive advertising budget. So you'll see ads everywhere for Microsoft.
You will.
It's also, ironically, the most hated piece of software in government, despite the fact that they make billions of dollars on it. It's also being phased out, the SharePoint's capability to be a web publishing platform. So while we do see it a lot in many places, it has become the default system that a lot of organizations fall back on because it's the one that they've already purchased licenses for, or it's been rolled into some blanket purchase agreement, so why not just use it? But that's a very dangerous and sort of myopic way to approach a content management strategy. It's a square peg in a round hole in my mind.
Yeah, I think what people have to realize is that just because we've always done it this way does not mean that that'll be the answer in 2017, because your budget's probably going to get pulled back. You may not be able to hire the staff you want, and you're going to come up with some solutions that don't involve any heavy investment. and you have to have a more lightweight, flexible solution that complies with many of the security requirements as well. And I guess never thought of that, but SharePoint it did start off as a content management. It's almost like document management system, mm-hmm. where they'd store documents, then forward documents. But the workflow rules, my experience has been they can be limited. And I think that's what's important with having this whole agile system and flexible, because many times the agile, you just don't know what's going to happen. You have to be loose enough to be able to incorporate a new person on the team quickly and respond as quickly as the train cars do in New York.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's take a break, come back, and talk more about where you see your company heading in the next 5 years for my audience. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Tom Cochran, Chief Digital Strategist and Vice President Public Sector at Acquia. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Tom Cochran, Chief Digital Strategist and Vice President Public Sector at a company called Acquia. You may have heard of them. You might have heard of Drupal. You can go to their website at acquia.com. Yes, I am compulsive, and some people sit in their cars and listen to it, and they're going to misspell it or something, so I just want to make sure they know where they're going. Tom, as you know, has had experience in the federal government, his experience in the commercial world. He's well-educated. He's got patents. He sees things from all kinds of different perspectives. And what I'm going to have him do right now is tell me exactly what's going to happen in the next 5 years. Some people can't predict the next 5 minutes. So I can go ahead and say it here. So we got a lot of transitions at the White House and here and there in the United States Capitol today. How can you predict what's going to happen? So give me a thumbnail sketch of what you see happening in open source the next 4 or 5 years of the federal government and where your company's going to fit in.
So I can say with 100% accuracy that what I'm going to tell you, it will be true.
A good way to start an interview, isn't it?
Right.
It's not going to be true. Okay. The Nationals are going to win the World Series. No, that's going to be true.
That will be true. So it is a little bit of hubris for me to say I know exactly what's going to happen in 5 years, but I can tell you what the trends are and what sort of the trend lines will continue to be. We do see more and more adoption of open source technology. We do see a lot more organizations in the public sector embracing Drupal and open source technology. So I would expect this trajectory to continue growing in addition to cloud, in addition to just general digital transformation and making sure that the citizen experience is improved through the use of modern digital technologies.
You know, I was writing down, taking notes while you're speaking about open source. So is your competition proprietary software, or is your competition major vendors like Microsoft, or is your competition, we've always done it this way? So when you have to come up with a marketing plan, who's your competitor?
You know, actually the last one you raised is a very common one, which is we've always done it this way. And typically we do it in-house. We do our stuff in-house. It could be a custom-built content management system that's been sort of this Franken system for 10 years, and it's really difficult to migrate off of. The earlier ones that you mentioned, the proprietary software companies, we do see those a lot. But really, it's a lot of we've always done it this way, and this is a do-it-yourself sort of mentality, and change is scary and change is hard.
The number is 10,000 baby boomers are retiring every day. They're going down to Florida, putting their feet up on the chair and smoking cigars. What that means is that right today, the millennials are in the majority in the workplace. I don't know if that's true in the federal government. I think it's probably going to be true there's my prediction for the next 5 years. That's probably going to be true in the next 5 years. And I see more open-mindedness to newer and different tools because they aren't bogged down with, we've always done it this way. They're bogged down with, I've got to do it. I'm going to use the best tool. I don't even care if it's an ugly tool or good tool or bad tool. And Dad, I don't even care if you like it, but this is the tool we're going to use. And so it's going to be more and more open-mindedness to open source. Now, that's not necessarily that open source is always going to be the answer. In fact, if you go to YouTube and you type in when not to use Drupal, you'll find a whole video on it too, written by a Drupal developer. And he said, well, you know, here's some real good places that Drupal works and here's some places that it may not work. And he said was, if you have a website that is a static website, that is a brochure website that just sits there. He said, well, it's probably not a good application because it's like having a Ferrari and just going back and forth in your driveway. It's just not a, it's not the right application for that. However, if you have a site that's more dynamic, needs to be scalable, and there's going to be different types of workflow going in and out of it, and most importantly, I think, is that, and you don't expect what's going to happen. I think this is the key thing that many millennials have that I don't have, is that, well, Dad, we couldn't have predicted IoT. We couldn't have predicted smartphones. And what's going to be predicted in the next 5 years? Is it going to be robots? Is it going to be everyone wearing an Oculus headset? And so, you know, I think that's a competitor for you, is where to fit in. I think if you can be honest with people, I think they're going to appreciate you more. Said, no, this is a bad fit for Drupal. Thank you. Goodbye.
I think that last statement you made is one of the most important statements for a salesperson to make, which is if it's not a good fit, if it's not something that would work in an organization, you earn the trust of that organization far more by saying, actually, this might not work here. To make sure that it's an objective analysis rather than being the person that's really just pushing product. That's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is making sure it's a perfect fit, to make sure that it's part of the holistic digital and organizational strategy. That's something that we need to do when we go into have partnerships with organizations. But talking a little bit more about predictions, I read somewhere that by the end of this decade, which is rapidly approaching, we're going to see maybe 40 to 45% of the workforce will be millennials. Not only that, but we're talking about a generation of people who will have maybe 4, 5, 6 different jobs. So what that means is we'll probably see more turnover in the workforce, including the federal workforce. We'll have people come in maybe for 5 years, 10 years, and then leave instead of coming in at 22 and leaving at 65. So in my mind, that means more ideas come in, more ideas from the outside are coming in, more tolerance for change will be coming in. So I think that's a good thing in terms of technology. And then back to what technology will we see? I think generally in the world, we're going to see a lot more IoT. We're going to see 50 billion devices connected to the internet by the end of the decade. That's six or seven devices per human on this planet connected to the internet. Augmented reality, I think, is a thing that's coming down the road. Virtual reality is something that's coming down the road. Now, how these apply in the federal space, I think that's a big question that remains to be answered. But we need to make sure that we follow these trends and make sure we can see how they can benefit the mission of whatever organization it is you work for in the federal government.
And if you can enhance a agency's management and governance, all of a sudden it may not be important now, but with all this deluge of information coming in, think about all those devices by 2020, billions of devices out there having all this information, and you can't manage it the way you traditionally have back when you had smaller disk drives. It's just a matter of scale and trying to understand it. And I think this is where agile training comes in. You provide agile training. And I think you've done a project with FEMA. Is that right? Tell me about what you did with FEMA.
Excuse me. We have done a project with FEMA where we run their website. It's FEMA.gov. We do it with Drupal, and we've worked with them for a number of years.
Now, there's a site that has to be dynamic, huh? I mean, I remember driving through Tennessee and seeing some FEMA trailers pass me or passing them. I said to my wife, how do they keep track of all that stuff? Maybe it's like the trains up in New York is keeping track of that. It's very difficult because it's going to be changing all the time, isn't it? It's going to be different geospatial requirements. It's a pain. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they do it, but I guess FEMA has to be flexible enough to have an open source platform, and it's got to be secure too. I mean, it's emergency management, and if it's not, it's, here we go, scalable. It's got to be scalable. It's got to be there. What are those three? I think you talked about three of them earlier. One of them is scalable. One is stable.
Security, stability, yeah. And scalability.
No.
Right.
So you're going to Australia. Tell us what you're going to do in Australia.
So in Australia, I plan to talk to our businesses down there. We do a lot of work with the government down in Australia. So I'd like to learn more about the environment there. What's the open source adoption? What's the open source appetite? But also evangelizing more, helping sort of explain what we did with open source technology in the Obama administration and where I see open source technology going in the federal government moving forward. Again, like I said, all my predictions are 100% accurate, so I'll be letting them know exactly what's going to be happening. So that's really my objective down there.
I'll use a agile developer phrase here, a use case. So do you think the story of the Australian government using open source is a good use case for my listeners? You think they can benefit from reading about your experience? And I hope you write about it. And lessons learned, and here's their problem, and here's what they looked at, 1, 2, and 3, and they chose 3, and this is why. Maybe it applies at transportation. Who knows?
Absolutely. Short answer is yes. People should learn about it, go to Acquia's website and read about what we did with the Australian government, because it 100% applies to agencies and departments in the United States. Even though our government is you know, orders of magnitude larger, it's something that would apply.
Oh, I think it's a lot of lessons learned, especially you can see what mistakes they made and options they looked at, because it can be very, very similar to the options that my listeners have. You have been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Tom Cochran, Chief Digital Strategist and Vice President Public Sector at Acquia.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.